Amen. If you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. It's good to be back with you this morning. I'm grateful for the 2 weeks that we had away, and we did a little bit of travel and a lot of work around the house, and so we're almost ready for the work of ministry. Things in September here begin to ramp up, and so we're almost ready for that. I want to publicly say thank you to Pastor Bob and to Chris. You are both humble servants of the Lord, and you are a blessing to our church and a great encouragement to me. And so thank you for filling in so aptly in my absence. I'm grateful for both of you. Today we pick up where we left off a couple of weeks ago, John chapter 6. In the first half of John chapter 6, just to kind of refresh your memory, we saw Jesus perform two really huge miracles. First was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, a story which is important for today's passage. And then secondly, we saw the miracle of Jesus literally walking on water in the midst of the storm. And today we pick up where we left off in John chapter 6, verse 22, with a message entitled, The Search for Something Greater. I'm at the age, and some of you will know what I'm talking about, I'm at the age where at least half of my day is spent looking for something that I put somewhere so that I wouldn't forget where I put it. Anybody there with me? That's at least half of my day. Here's how it usually works for me. I set a thing down, a thing that I know I'm going to need at some point in the rest of the day or the rest of the week. I'll put it down somewhere, and I'll think, I'm going to put it here because I'll remember where I put it. And then time passes, and my brain just forgets about where I put it, and so then I have to go on a mad search. This past Friday, I was on our computer at home. I was purchasing tickets for our mission trip to Southeast Asia, and that requires that I enter everyone's name when you travel out of country. Everyone's name has to be entered on the plane ticket exactly as it appears on the passport. And that requires that I'm able to see the passport so that I can enter it correctly in the computer. So Eric, I hope I got it. Eric's not here. Let him know that I hope I got it right. I couldn't find my glasses. And so I asked Carla, I said, baby girl, that's what I call Carla, baby girl. Baby girl, where's my glasses? And like the loving, kind wife she is, she said, I have no idea and no clue. And so I continued to search and search, and 10 minutes later, she says, I found your glasses. You want to know where they were? Oh, that would have been funny. No, they weren't on my head. They weren't on my head. They were right next to the recliner where I sit all the time, right where they should have been. Sometimes we need a little help, right? Sometimes we need somebody to come in and show us what's right in front of our face. Like we miss it. We don't see the thing that's right in front of us. Sometimes Jesus will do that. Sometimes Jesus will walk into your life and show you the thing that is right in front of your face. And I think he'll do that for us today. My hope is that you leave here today seeing what's been right in front of your face the whole time. I hope you can leave here today knowing that you have discovered the something greater that we're all looking for. Today's passage is a lengthy passage, John 6, 22 through 59. We're not going to read the entire thing, but I do want you to stand, if you will, in honor of the public reading of God's word. And we're going to begin in verse 35. We're going to cover every verse in the sermon, but we're going to begin in verse 35, and we're going to read down to verse 40. Here's what Jesus says. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me, and yet you do not believe. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of those he has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful, so very grateful that you are a faithful God. Even though the world around us seems so faithless, you are a faithful God. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you are the bread of life. And Lord, we thank you that you help us to focus on you. You help us to focus on the spiritual need that we have. I pray you would do that today. I pray you would speak to each person in this room, no matter where they are in life. pray you'd speak to us individually. I pray you'd speak to us as a church. I pray you would help us to apply what we've learned. I pray you would help us to live out your word. Help us to be a faithful people and help us to bring you glory. We pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Three ways Jesus helps us see what's right in front of our face. First, Jesus helps us recognize that we're all searching for something. Listen, everybody in the room, everyone in the room is searching for something, no matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter your socioeconomic status. Every single person in the room is searching for something. And I would contend that we could all fit into one of three different categories, that all of us is searching for one of these three different things. We're either searching for purpose in life, we're searching for fulfillment in life, or we're searching for understanding in life. Either you're looking for purpose, you're looking for the meaning of life, or you're looking for fulfillment, which is really the result of living out your purpose, or you're looking for understanding why you are where you are, why you're in the position, why this thing or that thing didn't happen. Everyone in the room is looking for either purpose, understanding, or fulfillment. In today's passage, what we see is the crowd, they were searching for something. But the problem with the crowd search is that it was really a deceitful search. They were being deceitful about what they were searching for. Remember, Jesus had fed the 5,000, and it's that crowd that's the subject of today's passage. That's the crowd. Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then the 5,000 had watched the disciples get into the boats and leave. They had watched Jesus stay behind, and now we come to the very next day. Look at it in your Bible, verse 22. The Bible says this in verse 22, the next day, this would be the next day after the feeding of the 5,000, the next day, the crowd that had stayed on the other side of the sea saw there had been only one boat. They also saw that Jesus had not boarded the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone off alone. Some boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Verse 24, when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. That sounds really noble, doesn't it? That sounds really like a really noble thing. Oh, we're looking for Jesus, but really they were being incredibly deceitful. Jesus was not the object of their search. He was just the means by which they could get the thing that they wanted. He wasn't what they were searching for. He was just the object by which they could fulfill their desire to get more stuff. Like you don't go to a bank to see a teller. Right? You're not there to see the teller. What are you at a bank for? To get money. So the crowd here was looking for Jesus. They were looking for Jesus, but they weren't really looking for Jesus. They were looking for the stuff that Jesus might give them. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, because that's what Jesus said. Look in your Bible, verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And look at Jesus' answer, verse 26. He said, truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. I love how the New Living Translation translates verse 26. It says this, Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. You want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. The crowd had a deceitful search, but Jesus had a devastating response to them. You ain't looking for me, he said. You're looking for stuff. They didn't want Jesus. They wanted the stuff that Jesus might give to them. It reminds me a little bit of our upcoming trip to Southeast Asia. I have to start referring it to the trip to Southeast Asia because the country is closed to missionaries. So just to protect the IMB missionaries there and to protect our trip, we have to kind of refer to it broadly. You'll remember a pretty lofty earthquake occurred in the area where we're going to be going a few months ago. And one of the IMB missionaries on the ground there, he told me they were doing some disaster relief work. So that earthquake kind of hit right where we're going, and it destroyed thousands of homes. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are still homeless to this day. And so they were handing out rice and oil to cook the rice in to people who needed it. And here's what he said. I asked him, like, has the earthquake created an openness to the gospel? Is there a hunger for the gospel since the earthquake? And here's what he said. There's a real openness to the gospel right now, he said. But what I don't know is if the openness to the gospel is because we're bringing the stuff they need or because they're really ready to hear about Jesus. We just don't know. Only time will tell. The crowd that day in John chapter 6, they were searching for Jesus, right? But they weren't searching for Jesus. They were being incredibly deceitful. They wanted the stuff, the blessing that came with following Jesus, but they didn't want Jesus. And before we condemn them, we should see that we can be guilty of the exact same thing. Like, let me ask you, if Jesus doesn't do the thing you want him to do, you're going to walk away from him? Like, do a thought experiment, all right? So think about that thing that you really want. If that thing doesn't happen, are you going to walk away? If you don't get that new job, if you don't get that answer in the doctor's office, if you don't get that fresh start, if you don't get more money, if you don't get fame or popularity, if you don't get that thing that you're really searching after, are you going to walk away? You're going to be another example of someone who says, well, I tried that whole Jesus thing, but it doesn't work. Well, I'll tell you what, that will not work. That will not work. You don't follow Jesus so that you can get stuff. You follow Jesus because he's Lord. He may not do what you want him to do. He didn't do that in John chapter 6. They came looking for bagels, right? And Jesus didn't call down more bagels from the sky. He didn't do that. But what he did was he offered them something even better than bread. He helps us recognize that we're all searching for something. And then secondly, he helps redirect us. Redirect us from searching from something to searching for someone. See, all of us here, we're searching for understanding, purpose, or fulfillment. And the problem is, we have been so duped into believing that something will bring us purpose, understanding, or fulfillment. We think a new car, or a better job, or popularity, or fame, or money. We think those things will bring us purpose and fulfillment. So we waste our lives searching for something that will bring us fulfillment. We waste our lives searching for something that will bring us purpose. We waste our lives thinking that just more money is going to solve the problem, or a different job is going to solve the problem, or fame or popularity is going to solve the problem. And I can refute that with just one name: Robin Williams. Remember Robin Williams? Man, he was famous. He was rich. He had the bigger house, the new car. He was popular, one of the funniest guys I know. But Robin Williams was tormented. He was unfulfilled. Seemed so happy, and yet he was miserable behind closed doors. Listen, here's my thing. Don't waste your life trying to find something that you think will make you fulfilled. Don't waste your life trying to find, searching after, running after something that will give you purpose. Your purpose in life is not to have a bigger house. That's not your purpose. Your purpose in life is not to have a better car than your coworker. Your purpose in life is not to have more money than your parents had. Your purpose in life is not to be the most popular kid in your friend group. And if you make those things, if you make anything your purpose in life, you will be empty. And you'll wind up just like the grumbling Jews from today's story. They were looking for something. They wanted the bread, but Jesus didn't give them what he wanted. He didn't give them what they wanted. He offered them something even better. Look at how he redirects the crowd. Verse 27, look at what he says. He says this: don't work for food that perishes, but for the food that lasts for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal of approval on him. What can we do to perform the works of God? They asked. Verse 29, look in your Bible. You've got to see this. Circle it, highlight it, underline it. Jesus replied, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent." You want to know how you can find purpose and fulfillment in life? It starts with understanding exactly who Jesus is. That's how you have purpose and fulfillment. And Jesus says in verse 27, now correct me if I'm wrong, but Jesus says our job, the work of God, our job is to do what? To believe in the one that he has sent. Jesus redirects their focus away from physical needs and to the direction of spiritual needs. You want to know what God's will is for your life? That you believe in Jesus. Verse 29, that's exactly what it says. And I want you to notice the tense of that verb. Is it past, present, or future? Believe. Present. That's the present tense of the verb believe. Not past tense. Not future tense. Present tense. And hear me when I say this. Because I believe right now, because I am believing in Jesus right now, I can trust him for today. Because I am believing in Jesus, it changes how I live, work, and play. Because I am believing in Jesus, so the circumstances in my life are sure to change, the purpose in my life never will. Why? Because Jesus has given me understanding about what his will is for my life, and he's given you the same thing. And what is it? To believe in him. When you believe presently, every day, you're believing in Jesus, every single second of every single day, it changes the way you go about your day. It changes how you live. It changes how you work. It changes how you play. It changes the words that come out of your mouth. He changes everything about us. Believe, present tense. And Jesus says, this is the work. You want to know the work of God? It's this, that you believe in the one he has sent. And I want you to see the audacity of the crowd. You have to see how audacious this crowd is, the nerve of this crowd. Look at them, verse 30. Remember, what happened the day before? Jesus fed how many people? 5,000. And what did Jesus feed them? Bread and fish. Okay, and listen to the audacity of the crowd. Verse 30. What sign then are you going to do so that we may see and believe you? Well, what are you going to perform? Verse 31, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, just as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but Moses, he gave our great, 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 great grandparents bread from heaven to eat. And he did that for 40 years, every day. So, Jesus, this little miracle of you feeding 5,000 people, Moses did even greater. He fed the Israelites, all of them, every day for 40 years. So, Jesus, what are you going to do? What miracle are you going to perform? Do you see the audacity in that? Look at how Jesus responds. Verse 32, Jesus said to them, Truly I tell you, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And so then they said, Sir, give us this bread always. And once again, Jesus redirects their focus away from the physical. They're wanting that physical bread, that manna. Give us something. Give us this bread. Give us that thing. Give it to us. And my Bible says, verse 34, the end of verse 34, my Bible says, always. What does your Bible say? Give us this bread what? Always. Like, give us your stuff. And watch how Jesus, once again, attempts to redirect them from something to someone. Look at verse 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry. And no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. But as I told you, you've seen me. And what? Yet you do not believe. Condemning words. Verse 37, everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will never cast out. By the way, verse 37 is pretty clear evidence that if you are a born-again believer in Christ, if you are saved, then look at verse 37. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, what does Jesus promise? I will never cast them out. You are safe and secure with Christ. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This is the will of Him who sent me, that I should lose none of those He has given me, but should raise them up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day. Don't you want that? Don't you want to have a fulfilled life? Don't you want to find purpose in life? There it is. So simple. Don't overcomplicate it. It is so simple. Everyone that sees the Son and what? Believes in Him will have eternal life. And I will raise Him up on the last day. Death could not hold Christ. And because of Christ, death cannot hold us. Why? Because Christ holds us. Don't you want that? Don't you want to live forever in a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no hurts, no cancer, no bad days, no funeral homes, no graveyards? Don't you want to live in that place forever? Don't you want eternal life? Good news. You can have it. Believe in Jesus and you will be saved. And quit wasting your life searching for something that will bring you purpose. Quit wasting your life searching for something that will bring you fulfillment, because something cannot do that. You have to turn your focus from something to someone. You have to turn your focus from something to the only one who can give you purpose and fulfillment. He helps us recognize that we're all searching for something. He helps us redirect our search from something to someone. And lastly, He helps us realize that He's our only hope for eternal life. And I'll go a step further. He's our only hope for this life, for the present life, for life on this earth, on this place. He's our only hope. He is the someone that we've all been searching for, because He's the only one who can grant us eternal life. Look in your Bible, verse 41. We're going to read down to verse 51. So follow along closely. Therefore, the Jews started doing what? Oh, grumbling. Oh, this Jesus. The Jews started grumbling about Him because He said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, well, isn't this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can He say, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus answered, verse 43, stop grumbling among yourselves. By the way, that's the kind way of saying, shut your mouth, right? Stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly I tell you, anyone who believes has eternal life. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors, they ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I am the bread, the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Listen, Jesus is your only hope for eternal life. He is your only hope for heaven. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not money, not fame, not our good works. Jesus alone is our only hope for eternal life. He is the living bread. He is, according to His own words, the bread of life. He is the only one who can satisfy our need for purpose because He's the bread of life. He's the only one who can satisfy our hunger for fulfillment because He's the bread of life. Feast on the bread and live. Nothing else in this world has the power to save you. Nothing else in this world. This week I sat down in the morning. I don't do this every morning, but occasionally when I sit down early in the morning, I'll have a cup of coffee and I'll say, well, let's see what's going on in the rest of the world. And I'll turn on the news for just a few minutes. I don't like to watch the news all day, just for a few minutes, just to get an idea of what's happening. And this particular morning, I can't remember what day, Tuesday, Wednesday, I don't know. I turned on the TV and President Trump had called into a morning show and he was being interviewed by the people on the couch there. And he was talking about the war in Ukraine, the war between Ukraine and Russia, and his efforts to bring peace between Ukraine and Russia. And here's what he said. I'll read it quote for quote. He said, I want to try to get to heaven if possible. I hear I'm not doing too well. I hear I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But, he said, if I can get to heaven, ending this war will be one of the reasons. Works. If I can get to heaven, then my good work of ending the war will be one of the reasons. And I thought, well, he's on the right track. I mean, works do save us. Did you hear that? Works do save us. Just not our works. The only way we can be saved is by the finished work of Jesus Christ. The next day I was on Facebook, which I hate just about as much as news. Franklin Graham had made a post. And when Franklin Graham, you know, son of Billy Graham, Samaritan's Purse, he had made a post and he said it beautifully. I just want to read it to you word for word. Here's what he said. President Donald J. Trump brought up the topic of heaven on Fox News yesterday morning. And I'm glad he did because many people struggle with the question of how we can get there, how we can get to heaven. We do get to heaven by good works, not by our own good works, but by the perfect work of God's Son. We do get to heaven by works, by the perfect work of God's Son, Jesus Christ, when He came to earth, took our sins to the cross, shed His blood, died, and was buried. And God raised Him to life on the third day. And we all, He says, He finishes like this, we all have the promise of eternal life if we repent of our sins, trust Him by faith, and make Him the Lord of our lives. That's how one gets to heaven. Not by our good works, but by His. We don't have good works. We don't have good works. That's the scandal of grace. The scandal of grace is that Jesus lived a sinless life and died a sinner's death, so that you and I can be made into saints before God. He lived a sinless life. And because He did that, we get to go to heaven. What a scandal. Do you know, again, I'm studying a lot about Buddhism and what Buddhists believe because 95% of the population where we're going is Buddhist. And do you know that Buddhists, they have a really hard time with this idea of grace. Buddhists believe in karma, right? So if you do good, you get good. And if you do bad, bad's going to come back to you. So they think there's a built-in way to do good. There's a built-in incentive to do good. Because if you do bad, bad things are going to come back. And they can't hardly grasp this idea that Jesus, who came and did good, was punished so that we who do bad can be rewarded if we put faith in Him. But that's the scandal of grace. We all struggle with the scandal of grace. What a glorious scandal it is. I'm saved not because I did something good, not because I gave money, not because I went to church, not because I was baptized, not because I was popular, not because I ended a war. I am saved only by the finished work of Christ. Jesus is the something greater that you've been searching for. Amen. He's the something greater that we've all been searching for. He is our only hope for eternal life. He brings understanding. He provides purpose. And he grants fulfillment. Don't you want that? Repent and believe. Say you've stumbled. You've made some ugly mistakes. You've sinned grievously. Repent and believe. There is grace at the cross for you. There was grace at the cross for the Apostle Paul. There's grace at the cross for you. You don't know what to do next? You don't know what's next in your life? You don't know how you're going to handle the next thing? Keep on believing. Yes, present tense. Keep on believing in the bread of life. Because according to verse 29, that's doing the work of God. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. Believe, present tense. Just keep on believing. Don't know what you're going to do next. Don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't have to. You know what you have to do? Believe. Yes, sir. Keep on believing. You may not understand your circumstances, but the will of God is not that you would understand your circumstances. That's not his will. His will is that you would believe. That you would believe in him through every storm and circumstance of your life. And if you will keep on believing, he will bring you purpose, fulfillment, and understanding. Can't you see? He's the one you've been looking for. So why don't you turn to him? Turn to Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Keep believing. If you've never made the decision to repent of your sins and trust in Christ, do it today. Right now, repent and believe. You say you've blown it. You're saved, but you're sinful. Repent and believe. There's grace for you. Repent and believe. And finally, my friends, finally, start living for Jesus in a dark world that desperately needs to see Christ in you. Would you pray with me? Father, we are grateful for the day, grateful for your word, grateful for your kindness, grateful that you are the one who you grant us forgiveness. You give us grace. And God, we confess that some days we can be more like the grumbling Jews than the grateful people of God. So God, I pray you would help us today, no matter where we are in life, I pray you would help us to be grateful. Not to be grumblers, but to be grateful. Father, help us to focus on the cross. And the work of the cross, the finished work of the cross. Father, help us to know that you are the bread of life. And Lord, help us to cling to that promise that we will never hunger or thirst because you have given us life eternal. If there's someone here today who, Lord, who has not trusted in you, I pray that you would help them right now in this moment to repent and believe and to come to you. Father, if there's someone here today who is steeped in sin or doubt or confusion or frustration or lacking clarity, God, I pray you would give that to them. And I pray they would leave here today simply believing in you, that you are a good God. We thank you. We love you. We pray it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.